It's not only news, it's science breakthroughs. Tomorrow's technologies. Advanced medical techniques. It's a glimpse into the future where we discuss artificial intelligence, earth and energy, enhanced humans, future society, health and medicine, space, robots and machines. Welcome to Science Bites with Joe and Craig.
Today is Thursday, November 12, 2020. A team of Japanese architects working for the Spaceport Japan Association have designed a breathtaking concept for a futuristic four-story spaceport meant to float just off the shore of Tokyo Bay.
The artist's photos of what this will look like is absolutely gorgeous. Spaceport Japan echoes the layout of a traditional airport, except that space planes, not commercial airlines, dock at various gates. There are even drop-off and pickup lanes via roadways that connect the spaceport to the mainland.
A solar panel layer hovers over the structure, allowing for placements of patios, open-air gardens, even farmlands in various scale, while providing covered public space for people and other means of personal mobility.
Two towers will pierce through this solar panel layer, each dedicated to departures and arrivals, ensuring that the port will be recognizable from far away. Upper levels will allow passengers to view various space planes' departures, which will take passengers on a two-hour space shuttle experience into orbit.
The spaceport will provide real estate for space-based research businesses and make sure passengers are entertained and catered to with a hotel, an art museum, a gym, aquarium, and even cinema.
So far, Spaceport Japan is not much more than a beautiful computer render, but SPJ is hoping to turn the concept into a reality as soon as possible to expand the country's space industry. Meanwhile, in the United States, Space Force is slowly spinning up.
Yeah, according to themilitary.com, the newest U.S. military branch has created a division dedicated to orbital warfare. And by no means ready to do dogfights in a vacuum of space, the unit has received an experimental spaceship.
It's not a TIE fighter or X-Wing from the Star Wars franchise, but the Space Force is now in charge of the experimental X-37B spacecraft. The X-37B was previously under the control of the Air Force. It is a secretive, uncrewed space plane that's been flying space missions since 2010. There's been some speculation that it may have already carried or even tested weapons systems in orbit.
It will most likely be a long time before we see anything approaching the sci-fi space combat. And even then, they're probably going to be extremely slow-paced.
But the U.S. military's push to use orbit as a warfighting domain, alongside other world powers including India, Russia, and France, is both an inevitable effort toward the reality and ominous rejection of the tradition of space as a peaceful scientific zone.
With all these new spaceports and facilities to build spaceships, we'll need to use more electricity.
That stands to reason. I mean, the more you build, the more you need, and the more resources like fossil fuels are required to generate that power.
Craig, we may not need fossil fuels to make up the difference green energy could not compensate for in the past.
A team in the United Kingdom has started work on what the BBC reports is the world's first facility to store energy as highly compressed air. The 50-megawatt plant will take excess power from wind farms and use it to store ordinary air at pressures so great that it will become a liquid. Then during periods of peak demand, they'll warm the stored up air and use it to power turbines that pumps electricity back into the grid. The system currently is between 60 and 70% efficient. That's actually worse than a battery, but the team predicts they will be able to scale the system by adding more tank volume quickly. It is a fascinating way to use excess energy that has already been generated and is currently being wasted. Okay, it's time for a quick break. We'll be right back.
men and women from communities across this nation serve as reserve citizen airmen.
I am proud to defend our nation.
Proud to be part of a team that helps make a difference.
I am proud to be part of something larger than me and to serve my country.
We celebrate those who have served and those who are proudly serving in the Air Force Reserve. Our mission is to fly, fight, and win in air, space, and cyberspace.
And I am proud to be a member.
I am proud to protect.
Proud to serve in the U.S. Air Force Reserve.
It has been proven that women can see more colors than men. Researcher at Newcastle University believes some women may see 99 million more colors than the average human being. Now a team of engineers built a system that lets people see colors in the infrared spectrum as long as they're looking through camera lenses.
Can you imagine, Joe, 99 million more colors? That must be like a psychedelic trip.
It's got to be amazing. Totally
that would be
amazing.
Insane. We see the wavelength within the visible spectrum, a relatively narrow band of colors that fall between ultraviolet and infrared light. The new device that researchers at Tel Aviv University built makes a normally expensive scientific tool more accessible for things like photography or citizen science.
The team says that the device can image gases like hydrogen, carbon, and sodium, each which glow brightly in an infrared spectrum.
It can also image scenes in nature, which tend to look otherworldly under infrared light. Aside from photography and science, the scientists suggest a few slightly more consequential uses for their low-cost infrared tech. An environmental monitoring satellite could see a pollutant emitted from a plant, or a spy satellite would see where explosives or uranium are hidden.
I'm sure people will find many uses for this new tech and will probably be incorporated into a future smartphone camera.
Yeah, I'm sure the military is going to use stuff like this too.
Yep.
And it might be beneficial on, you know, for the Artemis program on the moon and stuff too. Who knows? But you know what? I wouldn't mind having a camera like this. And I wonder if someone will make a device to see internet wavelengths as well. That would be kind
of
cool.
Well, yeah. Speaking of the internet, you know, some of SpaceX public Starlink beta participants are reporting internet speeds higher than 95% of the U.S. internet users.
Yeah, I wish I had better internet speeds
sometimes.
Right. Starlink is a constellation of what will eventually be tens of thousands of satellites, was launched for the purpose of beaming down internet service to the planet, especially rural areas with weak connections. SpaceX told users to expect moderate signals during the public beta, but some users have already had better luck than they ever did with conventional internet providers.
SpaceX made it very clear its expectations from the beginning. The space company called the public test a better-than-nothing beta and suggested users might see speeds from 50 to 150 megabytes per second.
Participation in the public beta means paying $99 per month on top of a one-time $499 expense for a Starlink router, tripod, and terminal that allows users to connect. For now, Starlink internet cuts off for a few seconds at a time every couple of minutes, a predicted glitch that SpaceX told users to expect. But those interruptions will likely fade as more satellites are launched and coverage becomes more comprehensive. Overall, the Starlink program will also be less polluting as it is powered by the sun.
Another thing that causes pollution is diamond mining. An indirect effort of mining is increasing strains in our water supplies, which leads to an increase in river pollution. On an average, the pollution in rivers due to acid drainage by diamond miners has increased by 36% between 1956 and 2003.
But coming soon, carbon-negative diamonds made from nothing but atmospheric CO2 and rainwater. A British clean energy company called Ecotricity plans to clean up the diamond industry. The plan is to suck greenhouse gases out of the atmosphere and use it to create a more ethical version of the gemstone.
So we all know, to get 1 carat, 0.2 grams of a traditional diamond, miners could excavate up to 2.2 million pounds of rock, use 1,028 gallons of water, and emit 230 pounds of carbon dioxide into our atmosphere.
That's crazy, Joe. To get just 1 carat?
Yep.
That's a lot of, wow.
Yeah, that's why it's so expensive.
Holy moly, yeah, I guess so. Ecotricity hopes to reverse that environmental destruction by taking carbon out of the atmosphere. producing methane, a crucial ingredient in synthesizing diamonds, by taking hydrogen molecules out of rainwater and powering the whole operation with wind and solar energy. The resulting diamond is identical to one pulled out of the ground. Ecotricity is already capable of making about 200 carats every month. What a difference, huh, Joe?
Yeah. Wonder if the price will be better.
Maybe. Who knows? Okay, it's time for a short break, and when we come back, we have one more quick bite for you.
What makes a rainbow bend? Where does the universe end? To know the world from A to Z.
Discover science and technology.
Where is the dinosaur? What's on the ocean floor? To know the world from A to Z.
Astronomy, biology, chemistry, zoology, science and technology.
It's fun, you'll see. Why is the sun so warm? What makes a winter storm? And what's a quadruped? Why is the planet Mars red? You'll find there's lots to know. Exploring as you go. To know the world from A to Z.
Discover science and technology. Astronomy, biology, chemistry, zoology. Science and technology. It's fun, you'll see.
A public service message from the National Science Foundation.
Welcome back. In 48 years, an asteroid named after the Egyptian god of chaos, Apophis, might hit the Earth.
Darn, I'll be like 98 at the time, Joe. That's like way too old to be running away from an asteroid.
Right.
Apophis will pass particularly close to the Earth in 2068. And because its orbit is drifting little by little, there's a chance that it actually hits us. The odds of that happening are fairly low. But the risk, scientists say, is real.
Well, before 2068, we'll get a chance to see Apophis as it swings by for a visit in 2029. It will pass between the Earth and the network of satellites. At this point, we'll be able to see it with our naked eyes.
And it passes one more time, I think, in 2032 as well, doesn't it? Like on its way back out?
I don't know if we'll be so old, who'll remember?
Yeah. Again, the odds of Apophis actually poses a threat to us are slim, the probability is low, but the consequences could be catastrophic. Still, space agencies are preparing. NASA and SpaceX are launching the DART mission, which will serve as a practice round for the plan to deflect potentially killer asteroids. Russia scientists have also said they're developing a nuclear missile they intend to shoot at Apophis. So, at the very least, this space rock won't catch us off guard.
Well, that brings us to the close of another show. You can find our shows on our website, MySciencePites.com, and on all podcast platforms.
Joe and I are grateful to you, our listeners. Because of your dedication, we are now broadcasting in 19 countries and have been scheduled for Season 2, which starts in mid-January 2021. This season will come to an end next week on November 19th. With a little fun treat at the end of the show. Thanks again for listening, and we will see you next week with our last episode of this season.